I would like to take the text for my sermon today from not the gospel of the midnight mass, but rather the mass of Easter Sunday. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Salome, bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen, and they were saying to one another, "Who will roll the stone back from the doorway of the tomb for us?" In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Reverend Father, venerable religious, dear parishioners, and dear guests, Easter is the feast of faith. And you might also say it's the reward of faith. This is the greatest feast of the church year. We celebrate it with more solemnity than Christmas or any other happening during the year. This is the culmination in majesty of all of the feasts of the church year. Who is able to rejoice then in this feast of faith? My dear brethren, it is those who believe him in his sufferings. In other words, if we do not persevere in faith, we will not experience real Easter joy. Who has the deepest Easter joy right now? It is you who have observed Lent in penance and fasting and mourning over the sufferings of Christ, mourning over your sins, repenting of them. And the more you did that, the more you sacrificed and prayed and repented, the more your heart is filled with joy. In a sense, I feel pity. I feel bad for those that do not have faith. What does Easter mean to them? It's a day to have an Easter egg hunt and to talk about the Easter bunny. And then the normal routine, they go back to it. They don't have any Easter joy because they have not shared with Christ in his sufferings. That is the way to true spiritual joy, to go to Calvary. And those that have been to Calvary can truly rejoice and exult in the meaning of Easter Day. So my sermon, my thoughts today are very much about faith. And we see a tremendous failure in faith on the part of the apostles. Now, remember, they became saints and martyrs, so we're not standing in condemnation of them, but we know that they faltered, they fell, they failed the test in the passion of Jesus, the one that had been marked to be the very first pope, swore that he didn't know him with an oath. One of his apostles ended his life in utter misery because he had betrayed his master with 30 pieces of silver. And the other 10 fled. One of them came back to stand on Calvary. And here's a very important secret for us to remember. John came back and he stood with Mary. And there's the secret. There's the key to our perseverance, to stand with Mary. By himself, John was too afraid. He ran away. The beloved disciple, the one that we see in many Last Supper tableaus, resting on Christ. He was that close to him during the Last Supper. But when he was relying on himself, he fled. But then he thought of the mother of Jesus, And that gave him the courage and the resolve to go and be there and to receive Mary. Son, behold thy mother. Mother or woman, behold thy son. So mark that point very well. To persevere in faith, we must have a very deep and growing devotion to Mary, the Mother of God. It's interesting how the church shows this failure of faith on the part of the apostles, because at this most joyous Mass of Easter, there will be no credo. Why? Because it's incongruous for the affirmation of faith to be sung during the Mass or even recited when the apostles are still in the state of having lost their faith. It's Easter Sunday evening that Jesus will help them with and help them restore their faith. But until then, or at least during this Easter Vigil Mass, no credo, no Agnus Dei, or the prayer for peace, because the apostles aren't at peace yet with Christ. They're in that state of, you know, my faith is gone. My faith is shattered. My faith is shaken. So you see how the church so beautifully portrays things in her liturgy. We read in the Acts of the Apostles, in St. Luke's Gospel, how two of the disciples were walking Easter Sunday, and this man joins up with them and says, basically asks them, what are you talking about? And they said, are you a stranger that you don't know what's been going on? Jesus Christ was crucified, and we thought that he was going to restore the kingdom, and our hopes and our faith are dashed. They were talking to Christ himself. And he pointed out to them all of the prophecies that Christ fulfilled in his passion, and these are his words to them, O foolish and slow of heart, to believe in all the things which the prophets had spoken. It was right there in black and white. He was going to be betrayed with 30 pieces of silver. He'd be given vinegar and gall to drink. He would be condemned unjustly. By his stripes we are healed. It's all there in the Old Testament, black and white. It can't be any more clear. And they lost their faith. But Jesus is so good. He doesn't give up on those of good will, and he restores the faith of those whose faith had wavered so much. It is to women's credit that the women were more faithful in the passion and death of our Lord than the men were. Ladies, it's a tribute here to your gender. It was they who were stronger in faith. The men's faith was wavering. Here they are, three of them, on the way to the tomb. Easter Sunday morning. They hadn't lost their faith. But they were asking that very serious question, who is going to roll back the stone? You see, our Lord was buried with such haste because it was such a strict law that once the sun went down, the Sabbath began for the next day. And no way, no how is anybody to be working in any way. And that included burying the dead. So our Lord was buried in haste without the benefit of all the spices and anointings that they wanted to give his dead body. So these three women are on their way to the tomb, but not knowing how it's going to work out. But here's the key. They did their part, and they trusted in God to do his. And there's the lesson for us in faith. There are many a stone that we wonder in our lives, how is it going to be rolled away? Do we just sit and wonder and ask that question? No, we have to do what lies in our power. What did these three women do Easter Sunday morning? They had gathered in love the spices that they were going to anoint the body of the Lord with. They got up early in the morning. Their love and their faith made them do it. And they were willing to walk through that uncertainty. And they were praying. And of course, Jesus had already risen from the dead, and there was no need for the anointing. But what a wonderful testament or example of faith they give us. Yes, God will do his part, but we must do our part. We have to trust in God. You know, what's so interesting is St. Peter trusted in the sword. Even before they went out to the Garden of Olives, he had already girded himself and showed the swords to Jesus. And then when Jesus was being attacked, he drew his sword and he cut off the ear. But Jesus said, don't live by the sword. So often they who live by the sword die by the sword. Peter, the lesson was, put your trust in God. And he learned that lesson. That's why he's the great St. Peter, the great and humble first pope of the church, because he did learn these lessons, even though at times it was slow going. So as I said earlier, the good master did not give up on the apostles. And Easter Sunday night, so this is many hours later in the day, 10 of them had locked themselves up in fear and trembling. What are we going to do? Now they had been told by the women that he had risen. But there's this hesitation, this difficulty in believing. And then Jesus goes right through the door, the locked door. And by all accounts, they should have been given the greatest chastisement of their lives. He would think that our Lord would tell them, you have utterly failed me. I prepared you for 3 years for this, and look how poorly you did. No, what does our Lord say? Peace be to you. And it's then that he tells them to hear confessions. Receive the Holy Ghost, whose sins you shall forgive. They are forgiven, whose sins you shall retain. They are retained. What love, what forgiveness, what a rebuilding of the faith of the apostles that they needed their blessed master to help them with. So you see, it is indeed a feast of faith, a feast of faith that was lost and a feast of faith that was restored. And how strongly and wonderfully. And the 12 apostles, 11 of them with the replacement Matthias for Judas, they went out and they set the world on fire. And they all went to the death of martyrdom for their master. Their faith would no longer fail them. Let us remember, my dear brethren, that faith is not essentially a feeling. There are times when we feel it. I think that Easter is a time where we feel our faith. We're rejuvenated by the sacred liturgy. It's so inspiring. It's so grace-giving to be present. But very often, faith is that dry living. And let us remember that we live in a time of such great modernism where faith has been redefined as feeling. But let me ask you this. For those that stayed at the cross on Calvary, do you think it was because they felt so good about it? No, it's because of their faith. And we live in a time where we need to teach by our words and our example that faith is most meritorious when it's dry, when it's difficult. Let's not give in to the modernist definition of faith of it being a feeling, and they will tell you that. It is a conviction. I am certain that no modernists would have stayed on Calvary because their faith wouldn't have been strong enough to keep them there. But it is through faith in our Lord, in his sufferings, that gives us that true growth in faith. We are celebrating the centennial of Mount St. Michael. And I love what our little booklet says. It talks about the history of the Mount, Architects of Faith. And for the first half of those 100 years, the Jesuits had the traditional Catholic faith, which emphasized conviction and dedication, even when it's dry. But then Vatican II happened, modernism got to them, and they redefined faith as feeling. So you see, it is about faith. It is about being strong. It's about standing at the cross with Mary. And there is the reward for faith. And never forget, God will strengthen us through it all. Let us pray for a deeper faith. Let us make many acts of faith, especially when we're dry. And let us study our faith. April is the month of the Blessed Sacrament, a time to rejuvenate our belief in that great doctrine of bread and wine changed into the body and blood, soul and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as we receive every communion that we're privileged to receive in our lives, let us say, Jesus, increase my faith, and I will receive each communion, hopefully better than the last time I received it. And I will ask Mary for a share in her faith, that I may ever have that ever deeper belief and dedication and love for our Lord Jesus Christ. A blessed Easter season to you all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.